allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I think you just go by this desk, phone up and tell me you want to come down and pick up a copy.
All righty. Welcome to the Thursday, July 2nd, 2009 meeting of the regular meeting of the Los Osos Community Services District Board of Directors. And can we have a roll call, please, Ms. Kudark?
Director Senate.
Here.
Director Sasanya.
Here.
Director Kelly.
Here.
Vice President Ohilski.
Present.
President Sparks.
Here. Okay, welcome tonight. The first item on the agenda. Actually, we're going to receive a report out of closed session by Mr. Sykes, please.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the audience. At approximately 6 o'clock, the board did adjourn to closed session to discuss those items listed on the agenda. As to pending litigation, as authorized by Government Code Section 54956.9B, the board heard update on the bankruptcy case, the LLCSD versus the American Alternative Insurance Corporation, the LLCSD versus the Regional Water Quality Control Board, the LLCSD versus Golden State. The D. Thomas Murphy litigation that's listed on the agenda was not discussed. In all four of those matters, they heard an update from legal counsel, gave some direction to legal counsel, but took no reportable action. Under agenda item B, this is the performance evaluation of the interim general manager. There was no reportable action. And as to agenda item C, which is conference with labor negotiators pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6, did hear an update from Mitch, the general manager, but took no reportable action. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Mr. Seitz. And with that, we'll go to item three, the administrative and committee reports. And we'll start off with Mr. Vinares.
Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public, I appreciate the opportunity once again to speak before the board. You have before you the May 2009 Chiefs Report. In May of 2009, we ran 89 calls with four simultaneous or back-to-back calls. Three of those simultaneous calls required advanced life support. Of the 89 calls that we ran, 63 were medical aids, with 29 requiring advanced life support, with seven incidents reported as fires. During that time, Company 15 was responded to the station or to the incident a total of 25 times. And we continued with our hazard abatement inspections. The initial inspections were made in May, and then we sent out approximately 180 notices to abate in the early days of June. I can report that we have done our second inspection now. We continue to see lower than normal or lower than expected notices being sent out or an increased abatement by the owners. We also continue to work with Fish and Wildlife Service, and you'll notice that there are several prominent properties throughout Los Osos that have not been abated, which is coming up here in just a few days. Just like to remind the public that in Los Osos, as well as in the county areas, fireworks, either safe and sane or dumb and dangerous, are prohibited. So we ask that you do not use those. There are some communities in San Luis County where you can, as well as some public displays in the area. Morro Bay and Cayucas are come to mind quickly. So again, please no fireworks. And then I'd like to promote a pancake breakfast that the South Bay Fire Station and the South Bay Firefighters Association will be hosting here on July 18th at the fire station from 7 o'clock, 7 a.m. to 11:30. And the benefit of this would be for the Alicia Ann Rouge Byrne Foundation. If you remember, once a year the Byrne Foundation comes through town, and all the fire trucks come to one of the elementary schools, and they talk about burns, and all this money for the Alicia Ann Rouge goes to camps and to supporting the children with burns and their families. And so I'd like to ask for your help with that. Is there any questions I can answer for you?
Vice President Ohilski.
Chief, could you repeat the number for people that might want assistance on chipping?
It's call the fire station at 528-1053, and Amy will get them in touch with the San Luis Obispo. 1053, yes.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Benares, and thanks again for sponsoring that pancake breakfast. It was a great one last year, so I hope people attend. It's early enough. You can get breakfast and head over to Cayucas if you want, or watch tennis that early in the morning. Good thing to get up for.
Thank you.
Okay, next we'll have the District Utilities Department report.
Good evening, Board. Is this on? Okay. Hi. For the Utilities Department, for the month of May, our production was 26.6 million gallons, and that equates to an average flow of 0.858 million gallons, and to meet our daily water supply. The total production for the month represents an increase of 2.6% from this time last year when it was 25.9 million gallons. And now we're showing a water usage for the billing period from April 11th through June 10th, 2009. These routes 206 through 211 are comprised of 1,569 service connections, which represent 57% of the total water connections within the district's service area. And we have an estimated total production for that time period at 50,699 gallons. And the total water consumption during that period was 27,221 gallons, or 27,221,300 gallons. You can read it. It reflects a 0.17% over last year's total of 27,176,200 gallons. So the revenues generated for this billing period were $165,645.30. And the department's completed our monthly compliance with the Department of Public Health and for May 2009 with no problems or violations noted. And we had a water conservation outreach on June 15th. Volunteers from Morro Bay High School dressed up as Sammy Steelhead and promoted the Water Fest 2009 at the Los Osos Farmers Market. It was a big thanks to Lauren and her friend Ricky. They did a really good job. And at the Water Fest, actually, we had 2,100 people come and attend, so it was pretty well attended considering it was pretty cold and windy that day. But this is part of the Partners in Water Quality and Partners in Water Conservation that put on this event. And this is actually our third annual public outreach gathering. And continuing on, we're still working on the blending ratios for the upper well at South Bay. And then as far as utilities wastewater operations, we already did our semi-annual report, but it's our guys are still out there every day, as usual, monitoring. And as far as drainage is concerned, we've already removed all the pumps, so you know we're now back into the dry season. So
I don't know if that's us or I think that's us. I think we maintain that.
Or I'd have to check.
County
I'm
or
not
something.
Sure. For
but just we just want to make it on the record that that's going to have to be done. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Faulkner. And thanks for putting those volunteers, keeping them busy.
Thank you.
Okay, next will be the general manager report, Mr. Cooney.
Okay. Initially, I'd like to recommend the annual CSDA conference, which is going to be held at the end of September this year. This is a great opportunity for networking with the various directors and general managers and staff from other districts, and I would highly recommend that as many of the directors go as possible. This is not one of those things that is controlled by just two being able to go. It's a good opportunity to, as I said, network with other people, get some ideas, and move on. As far as being able to move our district forward. Also, it's been expressed that some of the directors would like to consider having office hours. We're fixing room 202 upstairs of where the district offices are, which we retained as part of our negotiations for our current lease. And we're setting that up as a conference room. So if anyone's interested in doing that on a rotating basis, we only have one director at a time doing that. But if you're interested in that, we can set that up. We have a conference table up there, and you don't have to go through the main office and all the security stuff we have downstairs as far as the alarm system goes. There is an alarm system, but we'll work around it so you can use that office. So if you're interested, it'll take us a little while yet to complete that process, but anyone who has expressed interest in holding office hours, we will have a place available if you're interested in doing that for a couple hours on a Saturday or something such as that. Also, as far as the low effect HCP goes, as been discussed, particularly by Vice President Ohilski, the district needs one for its general operations, and we're currently waiting for some of the parameters from the Department of Fish and Wildlife. I believe that's the Department of Fish and Wildlife, Julie, from that department, and that would deal with the Midtown site as far as the fence goes, and we'll include those in with the low effect HCP so we can remove the fence at the same time. So we'll be doing one HCP, which will cover the district's operations and also include the fence. So with that, that's all I have for this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Cooney. Mr. Cena?
Weren't we going to prepare a request for proposals to prepare that HCP, and what's the status of that?
That what we're waiting for is for Julie to complete her comments on the parameters, and then, yes, and as soon as that is done, go out with an RFP for proposals for the low-effect HCP.
Okay, just because I know there's another firm in town that's interested in bidding on that, so good competition is out there.
Okay.
Okay, with that, thank you, Mr. Cooney. And the next item is on committee reports, on the standing committees and ad hoc committee reports. So any ad hoc committee, or I mean any standing committee since the last meeting?
The Water Advisory Committee report is in here from Wednesday, June 10th. The entire committee was present. We had one agenda item, and it was to review the need for a district water rate increase predicated upon fiscal year 2009-2010 budget. The discussion began with discussion around how we wanted to fund our reserves and the rolling over of the interest back into the reserves, so it would be an ongoing. The reserves would always be going back into reserves versus any interest income going into operations. There was the discussion and the fact that the budget, the service charge budget was reduced to 1.5, and so there was approximately a $78,000 shortfall. So the committee began to discuss some of the issues around do we want to lower our reserves. And ultimately the committee said no, we'd like to see the reserves stay where they are. And so we... Upon Mitch's recommendation, we now have a subcommittee comprised of staff and community members and a Water Advisory Committee chair, Dominic Rock, to take a look at some very specific scenarios, analyzing our current rate structure, and again, then using the water rate study that we received a few months ago, and really to take a more analytical look at it. As well as survey other communities and their rate structures and discuss what's happening with the school sites and the school district possibly wanting to drill wells and what conservation
increase The committee decided not to reconsider that decision and stick with their previous recommendation that the CPI for fire service be increased or be implemented this year. Secondly, the item on the agenda was the budget, and the budget was approved unanimously by the committee. So those two actions occurred at the last emergency services meeting, which was 2 days before our special meeting, but I thought I just want to get that out for the public since this is our subsequent general meeting. Did I miss anything, Chief? Thank you. Yes, and we did postpone the July meeting because of the inability of the chief to be here and the members of the committee to be here and the general manager to be here. So our next meeting will be in August, and we're going to work on focus group at that meeting. And we will be getting information out about that. Thank you.
Thank you. There's no finance committee since the last meeting, so we don't have any report. We do still plan on meeting on July 20th. The item for that meeting was going to be the parameters for the upcoming audit. It's the only item scheduled at this time, but we may add as necessary. And then direct reports on attendance at other ad hoc committee reports. Do we have any? Okay. The next item is on director reports on attendance at other agency committee meetings. Vice President O'Hilsky.
Yes, this one I have. On Monday and Tuesday of this week, the County Planning Commission met to consider the Los Osos Wastewater Project. And Director Cecina was there representing himself individually on Monday, but I believe he followed Tuesday's meeting by Internet. So if I say... Oh, all right. Okay. What we did, the Chair Christie allowed public comment at the beginning of both sessions. As the representative of an agency, we requested 5 minutes, but we weren't granted additional time, nor was Golden State. But we did get our comments in, primarily reinforcing our position on Condition 97 about return of the treated effluent to the basin, and a reaffirmation of our letter that we sent to the Planning Commission, approved by the board unanimously. On Monday, they went relatively quickly through an agenda. They came up with a recommendation for location of the treatment plant, recommendation for treatment technology, and what type of pipes would be used in the high water, the high water portions of the community. So they moved beyond that. They did vote on, as far as the collection system, to require sealed pipes on a portion of the community where there's high water. It's undetermined as to exactly what length of pipe that includes, but that's where they decided to go on that. Treatment facility, they went to recommended that it be located at Jacamazi Brannan, which is the area adjacent to down below the cemetery, in lieu of putting the project at Tanini. I'm not really sure how they ended up on treatment facility, but I believe they're either looking at Ox Ditch or Biolac.
They're still looking at ponds.
And ponds, but there was not a clear direction on that. On Tuesday, the majority of the day was spent talking about the disposal of the treated effluent, which is our biggest concern. Both Golden State and ourselves spoke about the necessity of bringing that treated effluent back to the basin. We both agreed that as an interim, as a startup measure, we could live with spray fields, but we couldn't live with those as a long-term solution. But as a startup option, if there was, we needed to do that in the interim, that was an acceptable option. And that agrees with Condition 97 that we drafted and submitted to the Planning Commission. Then they talked about conservation measures. They came up with really distribution of the treated effluent. And again, by the way that they were able to calculate the numbers, Tanini was not included in the treated effluent as a disposal area. There was other available sites, primarily most of which were in the basin. How this comports with our recommendations on Condition 97, I'm not quite clear at this point. It's an analysis, I think, that we're going to ask the county staff to do to see how that water is actually being allocated based on the Planning Commission's preliminary 9 till 5:30, and I just ran out of gas, and Ms. Kelly had more stamina than I, so she stayed till the end. What they've done at this point is that they've determined that they're going to conclude their their considerations on July 24th, and as the chair said, one way or the other. The intent right now is that they have a hearing scheduled for the afternoon of Thursday, July the 23rd. The timing of that is contingent upon them concluding their consideration of the housing element. And then they've dedicated the entire full day on Friday, July 24th, to conclude their discussions of the project. That's their intent, and that's the goal that they've stated at this point. I don't know that there's any necessity at this point for the district to provide any further direction from what we've already sent, both as the board and from Mr. Seitz's office. But I think we need to be really diligent and really on top of both the Planning Commission and the county staff relative to the return of the treated effluent back to the basin. We've made that position really, really clear. We've pounded it in and again and again and again. But I think that it's just a critical matter. I think that the Planning Commission gets it and they understand it, but I think that's the issue that we just need to stay on top of, because obviously that's the one that most directly impacts the district. And like I said, we're in tangent with Golden State Water on that. I don't know if Mr. Seitz has anything to add to that. But that's a really short version of two full days of Planning Commission hearings. If you want to, you can watch them online. Go to the county website and go to the Planning Commission. You can see the hearings for both days there. I guess I can answer any specific questions, but I think that's pretty much where it is. It's a process in flux. They're taking straw polls as they go through the various items. Where the rubber is going to really hit the road is on Friday the 24th, because they're going to go through, at least it's the understanding right now, through the 98 conditions one at a time, and that's where they'll really decide what the project is and what the impacts will be. So that's where it stands.
Vice President Hilsky, one item. We got before us today a concern from some residents about the emergency services and the evaluation and the removal of street barricades, and that was brought up. You brought that up before the Planning Commission, and so I guess it, because there's a number of residents that have, you know, provided this to us, we don't plan on having another emergency services committee meeting at this time in July, and I'm wondering if we do want to find a mechanism maybe to gather input in response to this before the 24th. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I have spoken with the residents regarding that. You know, I quite frankly don't see any feasible way of us getting a response or changing our position prior to the 24th. The final decision is not going to be made by the Planning Commission. It's going to be made by the Board of Supervisors. I think that Gretchen is here to discuss that, and during public comment on this report, I would, you know, expect that she's going to state their concerns. It's unfortunately not on our agenda for today. We don't have an emergency services meeting, and then we don't have a CSD special meeting this month. So I think, you know, if we're going to want to reconsider that, it's going to have to come to the considerations before the board, not the Planning Commission. And I'm not saying we want to. I'm just saying if we want to. The interesting thing that came out at the Planning Commission was the question from both Commissioner Wyatt and Commissioner Christie as to what the nexus between that condition would be with the wastewater project. And Commissioner...
Excuse me. I'm having a little trouble hearing because there's... So
Commissioner Christie threw out the question of what the nexus was, as did Commissioner Wyatt, you know, and the answer is during construction, there's obviously a clear nexus because that would provide access through that either otherwise might be blocked by construction and holding up the road. So I think there is clear nexus during construction as to opening those street ends. The question is there a nexus with the wastewater project to keep those street ends open permanently? And that was the issue that was raised by the planning, or at least two of the planning commissioners. So I think that if that does come back to us, that's the issue that we need to consider under. You know, the problem is, and I'd rather wait to comment after Gretchen speaks, but the problem is we do need more access through now, and we need more access through particularly during construction. Problematically, I think it's 150 feet maximum dead end, but so there are those questions that really, quite frankly, were not considered by the Emergency Services Committee or this board because we just said that we wanted them opened up where it was safe and necessary. We did not list, you know, we didn't have the staff, nor did we have the availability to say specifically A, B, C, and D. So, and I think that's what's created the problem right now. There may be street ends that aren't feasible to open up, and that's the issue, you know. It's even an issue that LOCAC may want to address, quite frankly, because it's a planning issue also because the circulation element for the community shows all those streets is going through. So it's a planning issue that's something that LOCAC may want to look at also, that some of these streets may not want to go through. I know it's a long answer to a short question, but it's an issue that I did talk to the members of the community about, and it's an issue that I don't know that we can reconsider if we want to prior to the 24th, and I think we just have to agendize it on a regular basis. And I know Gretchen wants to speak, and I was assuming she would be able to speak at the public comment period at the end of this portion of the meeting. So,
okay, thank you. And we do have scheduled, it was contingent on the a summary report from the ISJ TASS that they did on the on TASS, I believe, 1 and 2, and with LOCAC on the 30th of this month, so that's something I can talk to Vicki Millage about adding that for consideration to that meeting on the 30th. So any other questions for Director Sennett?
I was just going to ask, and I think Vice President Ohilski answered it, that these are subdivided streets are already established, and I think, you know, the county may look at it from a sense of if they're paved, they have to maintain them. But then again, they're subdivided streets, and they were deemed necessary for public benefit, and I can't see that much argument going against establishing them at this time. They haven't been developed, obviously, because they didn't have the money or lack of interest, but they can serve public benefit right now by providing access and during the times when roads might otherwise be blocked.
So, yeah, this is where I have, I guess, my attorney issue is going to come out here because this item wasn't agendized for discussion, and I think that, you know, I can speak for hopefully the Emergency Services Committee, and I don't think we have a problem with you bypassing us and bring it directly back to the board if you want to, but I'm just not comfortable with discussing it further at this point since it's not agendized.
I'd agree. Withdraw everything.
Okay, any other director reports on attendance at agencies? Director Kelly?
Just really, this wasn't an agency. This was an event that actually Mr. Seitz and I were both attended. And I'll leave this in the office for a reference. It's the entire PowerPoint presentation dealing with greenhouse gas emissions in CEQA. It was presented by McDonough, Holland, and Allen, attorneys, as well as there was a planner there. It was very, very, very informative. Unfortunately, I don't have I suppose we could try to request the PowerPoint on some sort of disk or. But anyway, I'll leave this in the office if anyone's interested in looking at it. There's some absolutely excellent references at the back The entire presentation began with the legislation and policy around the development of AB 32 and the direction that CEQA will be taking with this new, with AB 32 and the analysis. One of the interesting discussions was the threshold issue. How do you measure threshold and what is the threshold? And apparently, SLO County is one of the first counties in the state who's really taking a very proactive role at measuring their thresholds for a baseline for further CEQA to be used in EIRs for CEQA analysis. The attorneys that were present that have had to litigate on certain CEQA issues were really, I thought they were fairly impressed with the county's position. So I'd like to, if anybody's really interested, this was last Friday from 9 to 3:30. I will give this, and it will be in the office if anybody just wants to thumb through it. But more specifically, taking a look at the back where all the appendixes and references and then case law is listed. It was really interesting. So I appreciated the opportunity to go. So that was my only other update.
Thank you. Any other direct reports on agency meetings? Okay. Seeing none. Will any directors want to pull any consent items? We have the administrative committee reports, which you've done prior meeting.
Assistance to the rest of the staff. As you're probably aware, I'm going to be gone for 3 weeks to start with. And we need obviously some supervision during that time. And I think that the district would be best served by having a ongoing supervisorial authority position, someone to be able to field questions and answer particular situations in both the administration and the utilities. And so that's what is being proposed here.
I guess my question is, this will be an at-will employee at the will of the general manager, not the board.
Right. This will be the adjunct part will be at will, whereas the position that the person holds will be civil
service
position.
I'm having a hard time hearing. Go ahead, Mr.
But that person will take the...
There's a lot of background noise out in the audience, and I'm asking if we can have it quiet while the general manager is speaking.
So this person, the adjunct portion of it will be at will.
That is correct.
Under the supervision or the direction of the general manager.
That is correct.
That's all I was just trying to clarify.
That is correct.
Director Sennett.
And so this is similar to an overlay over their existing title and responsibilities.
That is correct. Right.
Okay, with that, we'll go ahead and take public comment on the administrative and committee reports and all the consent items in the packet. That's A through G. So if you could line up at the podium and begin. Ms.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker from Los Osos. First, I wanted to just address the fact that the special meeting of June 4th, there were no minutes. There was a special report that came from the consultant, and in my opinion, those are not district minutes. It was a special meeting. It should have been taped. I requested the tape and was told that it's not available, and I think that's a problem. I also had a question regarding the utilities department report. Last month, I seem to remember reading that there has been some difficulty getting the upper aquifer well blending station up and online. And testimony in the Planning Commission referred to a very strong reliance on the upper aquifer. And it's not that simple to just drill a well and expect to supply water to our community. That well was completed some 8-9 months ago, and it's not ready to supply water for our community. Something the Planning Commission did not cover in their straw votes, but I would like to see your board ask them to bring back, is the pump station on the Tri-W site. I believe the Tri-W site has a great community value. It has economic value to the CSD and the bankruptcy, and that putting a pump station on the corner of Ravina and Los Osos Valley Road, some 17-foot-tall building, 20 feet long and 10 feet wide, fenced quarter acre, would be an impact to that corner. And it's going to be a very, very long time before new development surrounds that. So here we'll have this sticking out like a sore thumb for a very long time, and I'd like to see you take a position on that. Something that the Planning Commission did do, and they may not have the legal foothold, but they did it anyway because it was the right thing to do, was to dispose on ag land. That's their intent, is to make part of their disposal scheme the ag land. In 2006, this board commissioned Ripley to bring a report, and I would like that focused on an ag disposal or an ag reuse, and I would like to see you be as cooperative with the county and the Planning Commission as possible by giving any and all of that information to them. And I was quite surprised and pleasantly surprised that I overheard Maria Kelly say she preferred the Giacomazzi site to Tonini, and I congratulate her on that. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker, please.
Frank Cilio, Los Osos. First, I have a question regarding the status of, I think, the Cleet and Associates report, if you updated Basin. I don't know if I missed that within the earlier session, but if you can give an update on when that information will be available to the public, I appreciate that. The other thing is that there's a piece of legislation, AB 1242, it talks about the rights of the individuals to have affordable and available water. And I don't know how that would impact this particular district, but it seems like it may. All those individuals who use the basin, I was disappointed to hear Pavel Ogren state to the chair that there would be a fair and equitable cost spread out to everybody when they talked about a second 218. And the second 218, what he left out was that that was only within the prohibition zone, and property owners within that would be paying for that. Also, the cost would be totally on those of us who have water purveyors, which 85% of the people in the prohibition zone have the water purveyors, 15% outside. And then there's that third who use the water that have private wells or agricultural wells that would not be included. These people have an impact on what we do here and how we conserve, because the amount of water that they use or the potential water that they can use will affect us. So hopefully you can bring that point over clearly to the Planning Commission, that it's a basin issue, not just those of us who have water purveyors. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cilio. A couple questions there, and actually going to back to Ms. Tacker. Mr. Cuny, I thought we had a tape on the meeting on Saturday the 6th of the strategic meeting.
I don't know if we did or not.
Okay.
We will look at the index when Jan comes back on Tuesday.
Okay.
There was a recorder on the back.
Was there?
Right.
There was a recorder that was turned on that was on the back copier. Whether I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, I know we had the recorder.
We turned
there.
It on.
Yeah, we have looked at the.
Oh yeah.
I'm sorry. What?
Keep
nothing,
going.
Nothing.
Keep going.
Oh yeah. We have looked at the index that's on the tape, and we haven't found anything. But so we're waiting for Jan to come back, who's the expert in this on Tuesday. But, I mean, we can do minutes, which says that the five board members got together and discussed strategic planning. That's minutes.
And a question for Mr. Asili, I guess Mr. Seitz. We're hoping one of the reasons for we had scheduled the joint meeting with LOCAC on the 30th and to go forward with it, one of the contingencies was we wanted to be able to present the report from the technical studies. We understand we are a partner with Golden State, and so we're hoping to get a report out that we can use for that meeting. And Mr. Seitz, can you provide any other clarification to that?
No, I think that is a goal. So is to have a public document available for that meeting. At a minimum, there will be a public presentation. And we also hope to have the public documents ready, too.
Thank you.
Excuse me.
Next speaker, please. Ms. Clark.
Gretchen Clark, 16th Street, Los Osos. Mr. President, members of the board, as Mr. Ohilski has already alluded to, I'm here to comment about a recommendation generated by the Emergency Services Committee this past spring. In addition to other emergency mitigations, the committee called for removal of street barricades on 9th, 10th, 12th, 16th, 17th, and 18th Streets in conjunction with the wastewater construction project. This recommendation was unanimously approved by your board and included in the district's April 16th letter to the County Planning Department. It is my understanding that the recommendation is for permanent, not temporary, barrier removal. I have several concerns about the committee's recommendation. Number one, I believe there should have been more public notification about this impending proposal. Although these are public meetings open to any community member and the agendas of the committee are published on the LOCSD website, the ramifications of such a recommendation warranted, in my opinion, a much broader notification of those neighborhoods which would be affected. Number two, because so many of these barricades are on blind hills, removing them would introduce safety hazards for residents. Number three, the necessary re-engineering and reconstruction of these roads would be very expensive. Number four, the committee's recommendations did not include statistics about response times or loss of life or property to justify barrier removal. We polled our neighbors on 16th through 18th Streets, and the majority of them had heard nothing about this matter before we approached them. We gathered signatures from 35 homeowners and submitted our petition asking for reconsideration of barrier removal to the County Planning Commission. Copies of those documents, including the petition, are in the packets I've furnished for the board this evening. We respectfully request that the committee and the LOCSD find a way to re-agendize this matter so that we might have a more inclusive discussion of other alternatives to permanent removal of street barricades. Further, we ask that there be adequate public outreach, such as press releases to be published in the Tribune and the Bay News, so that more of the affected homeowners may be afforded an opportunity to participate in
all the stuff about pipe joints and rubber gaskets and all that stuff that you've heard before. But then there was talk about our open process here. Well, our open process consists of CDOs, 218 thinly veiled threats from the 218 vote if we didn't go for it. Saltwater intrusion, and particularly Ms. Christie, really hammered on that. We've got a real problem with that. We're just sort of not paying much attention to it. Right now we're talking about a gravity system with saltwater intrusion. In other words, we get the dirtiest and the saltiest all in one. There was no word on the dangers of the deep trenching pertaining to the gravity system. They're talking 15 to 17 feet maximum. My information is 23 feet. That's a pretty deep trench. Okay. When the project, here's a good one. When the project's finished, we get a 1-year warranty on it. I mean, you'd think you'd get 10 years just on materials and workmanship. 1 year on a project, on a $200 million project. So, they're talking about the collection pipes, whether to weld them or whether to use a rubber gasket. Well, in this soil we have here, it dissolves almost everything, including rubber and the wrong kind of plastic pipes. So that's all I've got.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker, please.
Good evening, Martha Golden. Well, I was happy to see that we have somebody who is on the board and represented, that he was at the Planning Commission in an official capacity representing the CSD, because for a long time, members of this board have taken the position that the CSD will have absolutely nothing to say about the wastewater project, even though the community is paying for it, even though it's our aquifer that will either be replenished or destroyed by the system and the saltwater intrusion that the system does or does not address. So it's refreshing to see that we have at least taken a tiny step bringing some input to a project that impacts the community. However, I have a concern. Mr. Ohilski represented to the Planning Commission that the CSD would manage the wastewater project. That is not accurate. 2701 authorizes the CSD and the county to come to an agreement on whether or not the CSD will take over the project 3 years after it has commenced operation. It may be that nobody will want to touch the project. So that should be corrected, and Planning Commission should not be under the impression that it's going to be our responsibility. I mean, it's dumped on the people here. And the other thing that I want to emphasize, and again, it's because of the manner in which Mr. Ohilski addressed the Planning Commission, he asked that the Planning Commission not impose anything that amounted to add-ons onto the project because that would have an adverse financial impact on the prohibition zone. That may be true, although if properly planned, the entire project could be reduced in cost so that there wouldn't be any additional cost. But my point is that this board and the members of the board speak for the entire community, and whether it's 13 or 15 or 20% of the community that is not in the prohibition zone, they are on the basin. They do get water from the same aquifer. They are impacted by saltwater intrusion. They are impacted by a project which takes water away and may not bring it back unless the board is very firm and very creative in pushing plans which not only reduce pumping for the entire basin, but bring all of the water back into our aquifer.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Leon Golden, Los Osos. I want to address this. I think you ought to really consider waiting on that one. And while I'm here, please, those microphones only work if you speak into them. Now, there's a couple of you that do very well, and I'm not going to point fingers at ones that don't. But if you don't look straight ahead at the audience, which is a tendency I see from many members of the board, you don't speak into the microphone, and we can't hear you. And, you know, look out here. There aren't that many people as compared to how many we used to have. If it's your idea that you should do this and then fewer people will come, which I doubt that that's your, I hope it's not your point, talk into the microphone and don't mumble, for crying out loud. And I'll tell the mumbler again personally about the fact that they mumble.
Thank you for your comment. Next speaker, please. Go ahead, Ms. Taylor.
My name is Gwen Taylor. I'm a resident of Los Osos. Having attended the RAC, which is the San Luis Obispo County Flood Control and Water Conservation District, yesterday, with Ms. Kelly, which I was surprised that she did not report on, so therefore I am taking this opportunity to do so. One of the major concerns yesterday, which took almost 2 hours of the time that they meet, which is only from 1:30 to 3:30 normally, the problem and the questions that were posed is conservation and water. And water is a prime concern for every district in this county, north, south, east, and west. One of the things that came out that was discussed by a member of the public is the fact that we in this community have a major saltwater intrusion problem. A member of the community asked that there be a reinstating of the plant of the water boards or the water conservation districts subcommittee meetings regarding Los Osos, and in also the question of saltwater intrusion was added to the subcommittee question, which is going to be, shall we call it, discussed, and a meeting is to be held. One of the things that came out that was very interesting, and I'm once again very surprised that Ms. Kelly didn't do something about mentioning this, is there is to be a what they call an agricultural pumping efficiency program. And this is to be addressed not only to agriculture, but to those who have, shall we call it, municipal pumping, which we are considered municipal pumping. It is to be held on Wednesday, July the 22nd at the San Luis Obispo Veterans Hall. We all know, I think, where it is. The time is 8:30 to 12:30. Municipal pump and well efficiency is going to be the subject. There is to be a free lunch immediately following the workshop, and an RSVP is requested due to limited, shall we call it, availability of food. I am going to give this to the general manager in hopes that there will be someone not only from the staff but also from the board that is able to go to this meeting. It's put on by PG&E, and it is subsidized pumped tests. It has many facets to this meeting.
Thank you for your comment. Director Kelly?
Yes, and I apologize. I have about 6 or 7 pages of notes that I need to reformat to submit for our next general meeting, which was why I didn't give an update. So, yes, but I appreciate Mrs. Taylor bringing in that notification. But I will have – the RAC is not meeting in August – and so, but I will have my report submitted for our August meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Vice President Hilsky.
Is there a phone number on that flyer that people could contact?
I'm looking. Yes, it's RSVP, the 800, oh, I'm sorry, 800-845-6038.
One of the we did spend an extensive amount of time talking about the conservation and open space element. I think LOCAC is probably looking at that. I would encourage the water. We actually looked at 2 significant issues. But if anybody is interested in the conservation open space element.
Approved in a straw vote, I believe. Everything's been a straw vote so far. Haven't made final decisions. $5 million funding. Each property would be able to have $1,000 to retrofit their homes for conservation. And the conservation element that Keith Weimer and Frank Acilio worked on were taken very seriously by the board. I've never heard anything like $5 million requirement, but that would be one of the conditions of the project. So that was good. And then they took Tanini off the table as a treatment site. And then they started adding up all the options. I think somebody else said this too, of where they could replace the water back into the basin here. And it added up that they had enough without the Tanini spray fields. So they are trying to make the county project, which was the old CSD project, able to fly. And to do that, they're going to have to change some more things. But I'd ask them to put the ponds treatment and the step stag back on the table, because we never did want biosolids, sludge removal, trucking. We wanted to have a sustainable project, and we also wanted to have an affordable project. So I truly believe that the step stag option, stag you could do wherever you could do gravity. You wouldn't have to have electrical boxes on your home or biobaskets and pumps, and you wouldn't have to dig out the septic tank. So those things would enable us to have an affordable sewer. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. The next speaker, please. If there's any additional speakers, can you line up behind Mr. Margetson? Otherwise, we're going to close public comment after this speaker.
Okay, sorry, I was getting something set up since I only have 3 minutes. Please listen to my questions, and I would hope I would get an answer. The fire tax ordinance, there was discussion that there's a flaw in how the CPI is calculated. I know it was discussed it was going to come back. When is that going to happen so it doesn't get beyond us and we're into next year and it's not corrected by the time it needs to be implemented again? I've asked repeatedly about the reports that are coming from the Water Department about consumption and production. I would love to know when that's going to be corrected, because right now the Planning Commission is very interested in those consumption numbers. I'm going to give you an example of the flaws that are in this report. For August of last year, it's the district's showing production of, I'm going to round these off, 27 million gallons. Consumption of 30 million gallons. For September, production of 26 million gallons, consumption of 27 million gallons. For October, production of roughly 27 million gallons, consumption of 29 million gallons. For November, production of 23 million gallons, consumption of 25 million gallons. And here's the one that just really stands out. For December, production of 19 million gallons, consumption of 30 million gallons. This chart cannot be right. It needs to be corrected. It needs to be done shortly because it's vital information. The discussion about the pass-through streets, I think that should be agendized, because I would love to see the petition that was put out. I would love to know what was on that petition as far as information and how many people on the other side of the barricades were given the proper information of how it may help them. Because if I were on 16th Street on the other side of the barricade and I had a heart attack and they could get to me quicker, I would want the barricades down. But let's have the discussion. And my last comment is, we went through this 5 years ago, 4 years ago, after the recall. There were emails sent around to try to get the Water Board to find the community out of existence, and we were disgusted by all that. Well, yesterday, I think it was yesterday, there's an email going around now that John Waddell has contacted Barry Brannon, one of the property owners for the possible inclusion in the wastewater project, to get as many of his neighbors informed of the change at the Coastal Commission of moving the project to Jacamozzi to rile up the troops. I think it's irresponsible. I think it's unethical of county staff who work for us to be doing those things behind the scenes.
Thank you for your comments. And yeah, I agree, Mr. Margetson. I think we've, particularly when you look at the water consumption data, that the December and January numbers,
October of this year, so that is being followed up, and it's not going to slip through the cracks. But it's something that will be addressed, my understanding, is after we go through this budgetary cycle. Just a couple other quick comments, if I could. You know, it's interesting, having served on the Technical Advisory Committee for the sewer, I better talk to the microphone or I'll be accused of being a mumbler. And I don't think I'm one, but I could be wrong. You know, it's interesting, when we sat on the Technical Advisory Committee, The project now is becoming closer and closer to what the pro-con analysis came up with in that regard. But I do think, and I agree with the speakers that said the Planning Commission is being responsive to the concerns that are expressed, and they are, and I wouldn't say in all cases, but in most cases, being open-minded to some of the things that are being presented to them. The question about how do we get more input in or when do we give input in or that question, you know, quite frankly, I don't think at this point there's a necessity for this board to give additional direction or input into the Planning Commission process, because I think this process is pretty much winding down. But I think once we get the conditions and the project that's recommended by the Planning Commission, I think that this board needs to look at it in detail and make comments to the Board of Supervisors. So I think the directions that we've given to this point are really all we need to do at this point. So I'm not sure we have additional or need for additional action. And in regard to the one comment, yes, I unfortunately did misstate when I said that we would be the operator of the sewer project under 2701. My intent was to say that we could be the operator. What I was trying to do there was get us 5 minutes to speak rather than two as the either water purveyor or the potential operator. So I will clarify that item with the Planning Commission. I think that one of the things that I did bring up also that I should have mentioned in my report is about the cost. And that came up in the public comment right just now. There is a question. There's no doubt that this district represents the entire CSD, but there also is the question of what costs should be borne by the prohibition zone and what costs should be borne by the district in general. And even though we represent the entire district, the prohibition zone is a subset of that that we have to be conscious of. And the board has taken a position, and I made that statement at the Planning Commission, that the prohibition zone can't be burdened with expenses that are really related to the entire basin. That's not to say the prohibition zone isn't carrying some of the impacts costs, because obviously we are, but there are costs that we just want to make sure are not added to this project that are not really don't have a nexus to the the prohibition zone. So it's kind of like we're walking this fine line between representing the entire district and representing the prohibition zone. And I think I've been conscious of that. I think this board's been conscious of that. The impacts that are created by the prohibition zone should be borne by the prohibition zone users, and the impacts that are district-wide need to be borne district-wise. Again, it's not a clean-cut line, but I think it's a line that we really have to try to follow, because we do represent the entire district. So those are my comments in response to the public comment.
Director Senate. In regard to the impacts of the prohibition zone, I think the lines get blurred, and some of us are unaware of what our impacts are. For instance, I see people outside the prohibition zone that take water from the water basin, but yet don't replenish the water basin because they discharge a different aquifer. So they've already impacted, and they don't have to mitigate for their impacts. So we're kind of holding the prohibition zone to a need to mitigate when people outside the prohibition zone have never mitigated for their use of the water and have never returned it to the basin. So, you know, consider that.
Thank you. And I would echo Vice President Ohilsky's comments, you know, that, you know, some people may want us to maybe be more visible, but I think we're trying to provide enabling language to the Planning Commission, and we're trying to be efficient but with a clear goal that the water is maximized, it returns to the basin. Any other comments or motions?
I move that we receive administrative and committee reports and all items on the consent calendar.
Can I just make sure that the motion maker includes the revisions to the supervisor's job description?
Yes.
The Cabrillo Estates budget basically is running at a deficit. They have no, since they have been running at a deficit for several years, there is no reserve account that goes with the Cabrillo Estates. So the board has some options at this particular time. One is to terminate the lighting at this particular time, or to continue the lighting for a portion of 2010. The staff report says 2019, but it's 2010. Using general reserves while working with the Cabrillo Heights Homeowners Association to determine if there is interest in the Homeowners Association to assume in their responsibilities, or if the Homeowners Association would like to spearhead the formation of a separate lighting district, separate and apart from the Los Osos Community Service District. The amount of money that is going to be coming into the district if the district decides to continue the lighting and adopt the resolution to continue the $8 per parcel assessment will run the district for approximately 4 months. If the board decides to continue with provide lighting to the Cabrillo Estates lighting district, it is my intention to immediately meet with the people from the Cabrillo Estates Homeowners Association and to discuss with them the options that are being proposed this evening. Since the amount of money coming in will run the district for or provide lighting for approximately 4 months, it'd be my intention to report back to the board no later than 4 months from now as to what kind of progress is being made. If there is no progress being made, well, then the board would have a decision either to terminate the lighting or to continue on. I do not believe that the Homeowners Association in a four-month period, though, can complete the entire process. But if there is sufficient progress being made towards either putting together a Homeowners Association operation of the lighting or a separate district or paying to have a second 218 election conducted for the district to run the lighting district, then I think that the process should continue. So the recommended action before your board this evening is to adopt the resolution 2019-14, a resolution directing the collection of the annual assessment, and direct the general manager to contact the Cabrillo Estates Homeowners Association to ascertain their interest in pursuing any of the options that have been suggested, and to direct the general manager, if you so decide to do so, is to return with specific funding for the $6,000 shortfall, and then direct the general manager to continue to explore economies that can be put into place to lessen the financial impact on the overall district budget and also possibly assist the Homeowners Association in finding economies.
Thank you, Mr. Cooney. Okay, we'll go ahead and take public comment. And again, if you can come to the podium and then form a line behind, and we'll go ahead and begin. Mr. Golden.
First of all, full disclosure, I live in Cabrillo, okay? And I would suggest that one of the things you should instruct the general manager to do before he starts negotiating with anybody, that he first find out about how the other lighting districts in this community are being financed, because there are other lighting districts. And you find out how each district, including Cabrillo, is being charged for the service. For example, in Cabrillo, many of the lights are on stanchions which also support the power that comes in to Cabrillo. At least in front of my house, it's that way. And I think I'm a little concerned about looking to a voluntary organization, which is what the Cabrillo Homeowners is, to undertake this responsibility. I'm not sure that they can. I leave that to council as to whether or not a voluntary association can take it on. And if they should take it on, whether or not they could do what's necessary to keep this lighting district running. Will this lighting district require a board of five people, a place to meet, perhaps a general manager, a supervisor of supervisors, et cetera, et cetera? And, you know, and the other thing, and again, to pay for this project, we could not only be reducing the green gas emissions that we generate, but reducing the cost to us. You know,
Thank you for your comments.
The engineers among you know and can figure what the savings would be.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker, please. Seeing none, we'll bring this back to the board. Director Cecina.
Mr. Cooney, didn't we ask, weren't we going to ask the fire department to prioritize which lights they thought should be left on? And you say you've done some investigations about economies and places to cut back and different bulbs that we could use. Did you get anything back from the fire department?
Yes, and the fire department suggested that they said this is mainly a plan, not mainly, this is a planning issue, and that we should contact the county planning department. And they said if they had a problem, they would provide their own lights. They wouldn't. The okay. lighting up there has no effect for them at all.
Their services.
No.
Okay. And so we.
If the chief is still here, I don't know if he's gone, but.
Oh. Yeah, I will take that for what you stated. Yeah. So we looked at changing bulbs out or that sort of thing, and there's just not the economies there?
There are some economies, but basically what you've got is you've got about 36 inches worth of rope trying to tie together 2 miles worth of objects. I mean, you know, the gap in revenue and expenditures are so far apart that, I mean, they're you know, the economies would be a streetlight on a given day. That's about what we're looking at.
Well, I was trying to get back to Mr. Golden's comment about finding ARRA funding to replace all the bulbs, that kind of thing. What kind of savings? And so even if we replaced all the bulbs...
What we would have to do is we would have to work with PG&E. They're the ones who maintain the poles. And what we have commenced doing is working with PG&E to look at reducing the wattage and we have not got a response back. We have indicated to them that there may be an alternative bulb, but we have not received any kind of response back from their engineering department. One of the things is, of course, when PG&E, one of the things we have been told by somebody sort of like a receptionist type person, is that they maintain street lighting throughout, you know, not only this county, but a lot of counties. I mean, this is a large organization, and obviously they can't customize one area of the of their service area. They try to maximize their inventories to provide what they provide, the service they provide. So,
well, I'm puzzled by that. I would think they'd be using high efficiency bulbs everywhere, and that this community shouldn't get anything different than anybody else does. I guess I'm okay. We're not ready to start deciding which lights to turn off yet.
No.
Okay.
No. But we have contacted them, and we have on several occasions, on at least two, and maybe three, and we have tried to get some information, getting a map, a light map of the area, and things such as that.
Director Sennett.
Well, I'm sure everyone in the community has noticed the new lighting for street signals, you know, traffic signals. Everything's been converted to LEDs, and that was all done with, by and large, grant money that was provided. And so the department and the counties and cities could all change over their lighting. And it's very effective. And now, as a result, we have battery backup, too, that helps during outages. So I'm kind of wondering why a PG&E can't suggest something along those lines. I'm surprised it hasn't been done.
Director Kelly?
I did speak with Mr. Golden the other day, and I was, maybe this has been answered, but if we could clarify again that the, we do collect lighting for Bay Ridge Estates, and there was, correct, lighting and drainage?
I know we do drainage. I wasn't aware of lighting.
I think we do lighting in...
In Bay Ridge?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So just wondering if there was something we maybe overlooked on the expense, so that if and when we do this again, we have a little more clarity on the equitability of who's paying what.
Vice President Ohilski?
Yeah, I think that the you know...
Can we have it quiet, please?
I think for purposes of where we're going, I think continuing them to give us an opportunity to try to work something out with the Homeowners Association or residents or PG&E or whatever makes sense. So personally, I'm supporting the staff recommendation. And since everybody's spoken but you, Joe, I'm going to make a motion.
Yeah, I have no other comments. I'm going to support staff's recommendation. And I think Mitch and I had a meeting up with the homeowners, and I agree we could always do a better job. But again, as part of the assessment, I think the assessment was clear in, you know, the options that the homeowners faced as well. So, we could have done a better job, but also, yes, it was an assessment that had a clear choice as well.
I was not pointing fingers at anybody. I just think, you know, by the time we actually met with the HOA, over half the ballots were already returned, is my understanding. So I think that we could have done a better job communicating with the residents. That's just my point.
Are you making the motion to adopt staff's recommendation or to adopt the resolution to continue the levy?
That's all part of the staff recommendation. There's four.
Okay.
The resolution is the first part of the recommendation, correct?
Do we have to do those separately or together?
No. Okay. So I was moving the staff recommendation.
That's, just for the record, that's as modified by staff's verbal recommendation that there's approximately 4 months' worth of funding at the current rate within the for the street lightings at Cabrillo, and if a resolution isn't forthcoming or on its way, that he would bring back a report in the district's, the board's options at that time. I just want to make sure the record's clear as to what staff's recommendation is.
I was moving the written recommendations, and the way I understood it was that staff was going to meet with the community and get back to us in 4 months to lay out what the results of those communications have been, and then the board would discuss it further at that time. So, yeah, that's part of the motion.
Sure.
I'll second.
Ms. Kudar?
Vice President Ohilski?
Yes.
Director Kelly?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
Director Sennett?
Yes.
President Sparks?
Yes. Okay, and we're going to go to item B, which is the discussion to consider. And actually, before we do this, I'm going to need to take a five-minute break. So we'll take a five-minute break. And
just wanted to make sure.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, we want to go ahead and start on the strategic. Oh, I'm sorry. We could have the other directors back so we can start on the next item.
remember where home was.
Okay, strategic planning, and we're still looking for Vice President Olhilsky, but we're going to go ahead and get this started. And this is the strategic planning item. And I'll go ahead and let Mr. Cooney introduce it.
The Board of Directors determined at their June 6th meeting, the June 6th strategic planning meeting, that they voted to approve the development of a planning map that would be replaced on tonight's agenda. Since strategic planning is an ongoing dynamic phase of the strategic planning.
Thank you, Mr. Cooney. Any other director comments or?
I can make comments now, or we can wait till after a public comment. I'd be interested in hearing what other directors have to say and what the public has to say. I think that that's, you know, for Brad to help us develop the guidelines for us to then implement the process that gets developed via committee, and, you know, there would be staff input, committee input, board input, community input. I think having someone guide and develop that process that we then work on would be very helpful based on what previous strategic planning has already been done for the district. It's not starting from scratch. It's working with all what's already there and just bringing it up to current dates.
Director Cicina.
How do you see this proceeding, Mr. Cooney? I mean, if we allocate $7,500, do we just put that into one contract with Mr. Isaacs, or could it be an incremental expenditure? Because there were areas we went that on the 6th that I just didn't see how they tied to strategic planning. It was a little bit more of a bonding process. Maybe you have to go through that step first to be able to make sure that you can strategically plan together. and I don't want to be spending more money on that sort of effort. I want to spend money on strategic planning. And so I guess what I'd like to be able to be sure of is after the first initial step or two, if we decide that this isn't a direction that we see is valid, do we have to continue on with the whole $7,500 worth?
No.
Okay.
The general idea from this point is that, and then just to reiterate, and if I misstate or mischaracterize what you said, please stop me immediately, but Director Kelly has very fairly indicated that there's been a lot of strategic planning framework that has already been done by the district. The idea now is to take that and make it operational. To make it part of the culture that we use here at the district, and I think in order to focus that, we need some kind of a person to help us do that. And I agree with you; we shouldn't just say, okay, you know, keep giving us classes, even though you know we're going off in the wrong direction. That's not very prudent. And I think what we do is we take small steps, small bites of the apple. And if the process isn't working, it has to work for all five of you. It can't work. You know, if it's working for four of you and not working for the other one, it's not working for any of you. It's got to work in concert for all five of you at the same time. So I think that the next step is that, you know, we plan the process in small steps to implement what's already gone before us and try to enhance on that.
Right, and I agree. I think one of the things we got out of there, besides spending some time together, was finding the areas of agreement that we do want to focus on, the water master plan, water quality, and those issues. And that really was really helpful to Brad, so that, you know, if we choose to move forward, we recognize the areas of focus that are important to us, and maybe that's the first part that we focus on. More than anything, what he does is what we may not even see him more than once or twice. Under the collaborative planning model, you're able to come up with that roadmap that is very task and time oriented. And basically that's what we would end up developing And by roadmap, not like we're going to sit around and talk to each other. Roadmap meaning this is the task, this is the date, you complete it. And if you don't, we need to find out why. Next step. So it's very task-specific for success. And that's more that collaborative model. But where that roadmap comes from is input from the board. And that's what that first step was. The next step would be developing that process and roadmap and giving us some timelines. What do we want to, maybe the 7,500 or a component of that, we're able to develop a roadmap that can get us through the just a year. And that's maybe that's all we really want to do at this time is really focus on a year. So that's I think we have a lot with this particular model. We have a lot of flexibility and a lot of opportunity for input from us in developing those tasks. And the reason why Mitch is correct, it's either all or none, is that we're all going to be tasked with things to do through our committees and as directors, and we need to follow through, whether it's reading the old strategic planning and having comments on that prepared by September X date, you know, those kinds of things. That's more what I see coming out of this, that we all agree to stay on task and have outcome, because I don't want us just spinning our wheels. We're either in or we're not. Otherwise, it's not very effective. So that's what the roadmap, quote-unquote, provides.
You have to be unanimous for all the decisions, and that goes against the grain of what I feel a board fundamentally, that there's a premise there that you to move ahead, you always need unanimity. I don't necessarily agree with that. I understand, you know, that increases the buy-in and the advantage of the facilitator, as well as that you get someone independent that, you know, basically I think makes it more comfortable for the board in a lot of cases to maybe discuss some things that couldn't be facilitated with otherwise. So
I don't think that you have to agree unanimously. I don't think a board is actually operating effectively if it's always a 5-0. Where we need agreement in regards to strategic planning is that we all agree to do it. We're not going to necessarily agree on the outcome. We can. I think one of the messages from Brad to me was really clear: was just agree to disagree and let it go. Don't fester. You know, fine. So you don't agree on the outcome. You went through a process. Here's your outcome. Move on. I mean, I have never been under the impression that Brad or even Mitch says that we have to all agree on the outcome. We just have to agree to the process and to participate in the process.
Yeah, I second the motion on that. We basically need to. The only agreement, the unanimous agreement, is that you all agree that you're going to participate, and you're going to, you know, participate to the point where you feel that the participation no longer is productive, at which point then you make that decision. But at least until such time as you make that determination that your participation no longer is productive in the process, that you need all five board members to participate. You may not agree on something on specific planning that, you know, like the water master plan. You may have totally different ideas, and that's not the issue. You don't have to have a 5-0 vote on that. You don't, you know, you could go in five different directions on that. As long as you're participating in it is the important part. As long as if you feel that there's a value to participation is where that comes from. And that's the only unanimous part that you have to come to an agreement on.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that. Except, again, there's a, and maybe it's a semantic on the way I look at view things versus, you know, other individuals. But I agree with the participation part. But from what I saw, that wasn't just an agreement on the participation. It's agreement on this process, this particular facilitator. And so I agree that it's beneficial to do strategic planning. I agree we have goals. And I think the real beneficial thing that came out is we were successful. We had been, without a facilitator before that meeting, we had been successful on a number of items up to that point. We have been successful, and we have common goals. And some of them from my perspective, we've achieved. So with that, I'll go ahead. I want to hear public comment. And if you could come to the podium, please, and begin.
Well,
I think my basic problem with this process is a basic disagreement with what you're supposed to be doing. There are five of you who were elected by the voters, or some of the voters of this district, and you're here to represent the voters of the district. You want to find out how to do strategic planning, hold some office hours. Go down to the farmers market on Mondays, talk to the people, see what they've got to say. And maybe we won't have so many people, and there weren't that many, but there were at least three or four who showed up at the Planning Commission the other day who claimed to represent the silent majority of this community. You ought to go find out what this community wants, where it wants to go, what it's all about. That's how you do a strategic plan. As a matter of fact, it's been argued that a board which is not in love with each other is the best for democracy, because then you really have a dialogue. The thing that you're really looking for is to conduct a dialogue so that you respect what other people say, and you don't need a facilitator to explain that to you, nor will a facilitator teach you how to respect someone else's opinion and to listen to the opinion and to be involved in the debate that needs to be put forth, out of which comes perhaps a solution. That's why I think spending this money is not a good idea. It just isn't. It's not going to bring to you the skills that you need to be.
You wind up with a strategic plan, and it's on paper. It's going on a very high shelf, and that's exactly where it's going to stay. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker, please. And again, if you could line up behind the speakers.
Was I not lined up? Was that not close enough? Julie Tacker. I misspoke earlier and said that I was unable to get the tape of the June 4th meeting. It was the June 6th meeting that I meant to say, and that tape is unavailable. In speaking to people who were at that meeting, I... sort of the thumbnail that came from that was that it was more like marriage counseling than strategic planning. This community has seen enough lockstep boards. Diversity is healthy. I don't want to see you all buy in and be, you know, unanimous on everything. Director Kelly said that you would all have to agree to get your tasks done, and then said that you'd also agree to bring your committees along. Only three of you have committees. The other two of you are alternates. So where you have, say, a shared workload, you don't. You really don't. And you don't have a diverse work division. So... $7,500 for marriage counseling for a board that is not, you guys aren't at each other's throats. The issues are not contentious right now. I don't think that's what you need to be spending your money on. If you want strategic planning, again, I have said, you have a general manager that's more than adequate, more than capable. Just a minute. And if he's, you know, part-time and not willing, I'd like to hear that. And if that's not it, you have Karen Vega at your disposal. She has a great history with the board, and she can bring the task through as well. So could Mr. Seitz. You have a strategic plan in place. You need to put it on the table. Have your department heads bring forward their goals. I had the opportunity to speak with one of your utility workers the other day, and he says the 8th Street pump station needs a complete overhaul. You need to get that in your plan, and then you need to implement it. So I see Ms. Kelly agreeing with me, so I'm not quite sure why we're doing this. So thank you and good night.
Thank you for your comments. The next speaker, please.
Martha Golden. I just want the, excuse me, Ms. Kelly. I just want the board to get the sense that the few of us who do attend this meeting, most of us, if not all of us, feel rather strongly that the strategic planning needs to be planning by this board, and I think that the input you've had so far is excellent. It needs to come from the people who have experience working here, the interim general manager, the office staff, the people out in the field, and the people in the community. So you want to have a strategic plan. You want to know what Los Osos ought to look like in the future and what steps you should take to get there. Great. Get together with all of the people who have the knowledge. Put it together as some kind of a proposal, a program. Call a public meeting. See if you can get people to come and help you to finalize it. And then you will have a strategic plan. You really don't need a touchy-feely facilitator who, from Chuck's description, sorry I wasn't there, from Chuck's description, sounds like the ones I've been to where we really see if we can love each other, no matter how we feel about each other. And I think that you heard it was like marriage counseling. Well, it sounds more like a marriage broker to me. But whichever you prefer, I don't think we need it, and we certainly don't need to authorize up to $7,500. As far as I personally am concerned, we don't need to authorize more than eventually renting the space to have the people there and maybe having a few refreshments so it's more enticing for the community to come. That's it.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker, please.
And you'll break up into groups and, you know, get to know each other, and that's all fine and dandy. But, you know, I have to agree with Mr. Golden. You know, some diversity of opinions and strong-willed opinions sometimes lead to the greatest and most far-reaching and lasting results. You know, I mean, if we go back in history, the Constitutional Convention, 1787, was not everybody sitting in a room raising their hand on every article. Yes, we all agree. It took many revisions, many compromises, you know, the great debate. Those are when things happen. You have the great debate, and you get it all out there for the public to absorb. Usually, they get it. Most instances, they get it, and the right decision comes forward. So, you know, the other thing is $7,500 right now. I wish it was, you know, 4 years from now or, you know, at a different time in the district's history. So you got to weigh that, too. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Any additional speakers? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. Mr. Seitz.
I was going to try to be quiet so we could beat the 10 o'clock deadline, but I just want to I want to make a comment on strategic planning just based on my experience with my other clients, not necessarily that it applied to this board. Whether you call it goal setting or strategic planning, the idea is to set the agenda for staff to bring projects back to the board. I mean, that's the whole idea is I don't know about touchy-feely or marriage counseling part of it. But typically, what it does is it drives staff as to what you want to see coming back to the board so that they can time it out and come up with an administrative agenda to make sure the items that the board is interested or they see as imperatives get to the board in a timely fashion. And secondly, typically it drives the budget. Because once the strategic plan is set, it certainly has budgetary consequences. And that, in turn, you know, allows staff to prioritize their budget based on your strategic plan and your objectives in it. So I don't know what this meeting was like on the 2nd or the 4th, but that's typically the outcome that everybody strives to get from a strategic plan or a goal setting or whatever you want to call it.
Director Sennett. No, sorry.
I think that's a good observation. And looking back at my experience with strategic planning, goal setting, things like that, is that was what was absent from our meeting.
It happened the first 40 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. But the staff was not there. And, you know, that's an element that will block any progress toward goal setting. And I think that's a crucial element that we need to incorporate, that we can't be as the head management of this organization and develop a strategic program on our own. We have to incorporate staff. That's how we get the work done, through our staff. And so I would like to maybe change direction and focus more to incorporate staff into this.
I appreciate everybody's comments, because basically what you're talking about is the roadmap. I mean, I feel, on one hand, I feel a little frustrated because I don't know how I couldn't have made it any clearer in the previous ad hoc committee reports that I think it's critically important that we build on the current plan that we have, that we get public input, that we have staff input, and that the board is a part of the process, and that the committees get utilized. From the beginning, that has been really... I apologize if I have not communicated that clearly enough. The whole, and maybe it's the language we're using, and I, you're right, there was some, getting to know each other better, but if people want to go to page 3 of that outcome, we came up with some goals, building respectful and healthy relationships with each other as well as the community, create a long-range plan that gets us alignment and focus. There were issues under that. Achieve in a more efficient, effective organizations and operations, and get a new permanent general manager. We had some very specific things that we even identified that day. So even though we're all commenting or observing map, goal setting, strategic plan, whatever, of what the tasks, of what we're looking for output to keep us moving along. So it's whatever direction we want to go is fine. I mean, it doesn't have to be Brad, but I don't want to just focus on this, the fact that a facilitator can provide us that. It's not about getting together and getting to know each other better. We're over that. We did it. It was important, and we're done. Now we have work to do. How do we want to get that work done?
I have a couple comments. I went into this process probably, I think everybody went into it with different expectations, quite frankly. But I was probably as questioning as anybody as to the validity or the value of it, because I really thought I thought it was going to be basically more touchy-feely than it was, quite frankly. But I think it was important the way it happened, and I think that Brad did a good job of laying it out. I think the initial part that's now being called comparable to marriage counseling or whatever, I think that was an important phase in the board members getting to know each other and being able to work together with each other. As was said during that session, a lot of us didn't know each other before we got on the board together, and even while the board first started operating together, a lot of people still didn't understand where other people are coming from. Things were said during the election, that people, and you don't get to know anybody. And I thought that was really, really important, really, really important that we were all able to be honest with each other so we could deal on a level where we could trust each other. I think that's the important thing that came out of that first part of the session. I didn't see it as marriage counseling, but I saw it as that we now believe that we could trust what each other was, or what we were telling each other. And I thought that's critical, because you can't move on to strategic planning without having trust. And I think that's what came out of the very, very first part. I think that was critical. You know, we did prioritize items. At the end, when we started talking about what the priorities were and what we thought was important to the district, it was pretty surprising to me that we came out with so few items, because there was a lot of items that we all identified as being critical and important. And I, quite frankly, when we started that, thought we were going to have a list of, you know, unknown quantity. But, you know, once you were able to group them into groups, you saw that really the five directors saw the same challenges before the board. So I thought that was important. You know, I was really surprised at the outcome. I thought it was valuable. I have a lot of questions about how to proceed forward, like I think the other directors do. And I guess two other comments. I think we're going to have diversity of opinion, and I don't think that this is going to be a lockstep board by any way, shape, or means, trust me, because you have basically strong personalities and strong-willed people on the board that aren't going to be run roughshod over or be controlled by somebody else. So I think we will have the diversity of opinions, but you want to take those diversity opinions and, once you come to agreement, pull together towards the same end. And I think that's the critical part. And the last thing, you know, to me, you know, and I'll vote in favor of this, and if everybody's not going to be in favor of it, I'll vote against it, because I think all five people have to buy into the process. I mean, it can't be four out of the five. I don't think you need to buy into the results at the end, but I think you got to buy in unanimously in the beginning to go forward. If we can move forward with Brad and opt out at any point, I think that's what we need to do. But I would agree with Steve's comments that I think we need to get a broader involvement from the organization rather than just the five of us. So that's my comments.
Director Cicina.
For the record, and I'd like this in the minutes, it was not me who used the term marriage counseling. I never went there. I have been there. I did not go there that day.
For the record, it was a member of the public, I believe.
Okay. And I went and got Steve after 30 minutes, yeah. I didn't mean to say there was no value in the first part of that meeting. I think there was tremendous value in it. I guess I wasn't expecting strategic planning to incorporate that, but now that you think back on it, you have to, as you said, trust each other that you all want the best for this district, and we're going to do our best to pull together and put aside our differences. Anyone who's been to the Planning Commission meetings earlier this week knows that we have very strong differences of opinions on this board about that one simple issue. And I don't think we're ever going to see eye to eye on some of those issues about that specific thing. But that said, it was pretty nice to see that there was a lot of common ground about the critical issues, protecting our water.
If I can just say one thing from staff's perspective very quickly, I probably learned more in that session about where this board wanted to go on numerous issues than I have in the entire time I've been here. I really got a really clear, a much clearer idea of what this board's expectations and direction, where they want to go, and I like the idea of bringing in the rest of the staff and you know, really, because I think what I learned, I was very surprised. I mean, some of the concepts I had in my mind were totally changed on that Saturday morning, and it's helped me, I think, to help you.
Yeah, I'll comment. Because I want to give some background, because, again, I didn't vote for this initially. And when, you know, Cecilia talked about the term marriage counseling, and I had seen the agenda. And then, and I think it's important, because I was the director that, you know, I have a different view than other directors on things, and particularly with expectations. And when I talked to Brad before the meeting, I'd seen the agenda, and he started talking about what we're going to do, and I'm saying, wait, it's not on the agenda. And I said, and frankly, I said, you're going to be going down a road. We talk about being candid, but there's being candid, and there's being candid, and you know, it's. And I said, it's a double-edged sword. You want, you know, you want a respectful board, but you don't want, it's inappropriate to go down the road of what we call marriage counseling, because it's frankly can end up being counterproductive. And so I agree, we're beyond that. And I think the number of items we listed, having a respectful board, the water master plan, to me, I asked myself after the meeting, after Director Ohilski said, let's gestate, I said, all these goals, they're not only goals, they're things we've succeeded on as a board. And so I asked myself, one of the questions I asked myself in going with a facilitator, can we do this without a facilitator? Could we have gotten to the same place without a facilitator? And it's easy to say yes, after you've gotten there, but there are advantages to the independence of a facilitator, and they have a certain skill set. The other problem, and this is based on my experience, having gone through different techniques in with different names over my career, is that you use a facilitator, and as one of the public speakers says, you get a plan, and then the day you have it, it becomes stale. And so do we focus on a plan versus we focus on specific goals, and we segregate out the goals that we found, and each one of them has their own individual roadmap. I don't know. But, at this point, do we need a roadmap for developing that? And then one of the things I'm concerned about, we'll use a facilitator, you have another productive meeting, and then you use a facilitator, you have another productive meeting. And sometimes I'm just concerned with spending the money that we're going to go through a number of meetings, and the facilitator becomes a crutch. And so for the board, is it beneficial? At what point is it beneficial for the board to take off the crutch? We had that at the first meeting. It was beneficial. And plus, we got to see the style that Brad used. And so I'm concerned about the cost. I'm concerned about, what's the alternative if we don't use this facilitator? Yes, I think it would be good to have the facility generate a next roadmap. And then when I ask myself the expectations, then I'm always asking myself with decision, what's three steps after that? Are we going to still have a facilitator? And maybe if we don't use a facilitator, we try to, we don't have to call it strategic plan, we do strategic planning, or we have a meeting where we go through the goals we went through and we look at the plans with staff of how to achieve those, and maybe one of the results, if we don't have a facilitator, we will fail. And would that necessarily be bad? Maybe it would be a lost opportunity. And that's what I've struggled with. But I think this board, with or without a facilitator, could be successful at achieving those goals. And, how we are going to get that is the journey. And I don't know if that helps the board any in terms of where we want to go. But I think we could be successful without a facilitator, and I'm concerned that we're going to go through a number of the steps, and we might be better off as a board developing planning sessions on individual goal items. I'm just throwing this out there, and proceeding in that fashion, and having staff and having the public there, and doing that as a board. I guess I'm also confident, and I'm confident that this board can be successful because the board has been successful.
I'm concerned about just having these general planning meetings and a goal. I mean, that's meetings are not always the best venue for productivity. It may be that in our committees, or maybe, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just, I don't know what that looks like, but I do have some concerns when I start just hearing about more meetings. I want a product. I want to see something come out of it, and it may not always be this kind of venue where it's most productive.
And I agree with you wholeheartedly. I'm not a fan of more meetings as well. But what we're voting on is more meetings. And so
that's the whole thing, is that we're not, Joe. That's the whole problem that we're having. This is why you have a facilitator. A roadmap is not more meetings. Developing a process does not mean you meet to implement a process. It means that you define the information that you need, and yeah, maybe staff does have a meeting, and then they come back to the board and they provide us with some input. But a roadmap and a process is not necessarily mean more meetings.
I agree with what you're saying, that a roadmap in of itself is not more meetings, but the roadmap is going to provide an avenue for more meetings. That's what's going to come out of that. Whatever, however path you get, the strategic plan is not going to be just, the roadmap's going to be one step. And so then let me pose this. Do you want the facilitator for one more meeting for a roadmap, or how many?
And that's no, where, we that's, don't need that, the facilitator for the roadmap. That's the thing. The recommendation is that, okay, I mean, the recommendation is that that Brad talk to each of us again if we choose to go down this road, and that the ad hoc committee then meet with him to decide what's going to happen. I mean, maybe we need to hear from Mitch. I mean, if we don't do something, if we don't take your recommendation or we don't pursue this, what are your suggestions for moving forward?
Well, I hate to say this, but John was correct. I mean, basically, I'm just trying to get even from what he said to me in closed session. What we're looking at is what where we're going. I mean, this is the blueprint. This is what puts our budget together. This is what puts our plan together. This is where you actually tell staff. And the staff communicates to you, and you communicate to staff where you want the district to go, where you want us to place our priorities. Obviously, there's so many hours in the day, so many hours in the week, and you know we could do a lot of things very quickly and poorly, or we can do you know a number of things very well, and do it in conjunction with a good plan. But this is what strategic planning is, and I totally concur with John's assessment of where strategic planning goes as far as a body such as this, and I also concur that the next step is for the facilitator to meet individually with the board members to come up with some consensus and to have the ad hoc committee, Steve and Maria, to map out what a proposed next step is, and for those two members to bring back to this board what the next step after that discussion is. But otherwise, we're kind of bouncing around. I mean, you know, as I said, I learned more about where I think this board needs to go or wants to go during that Saturday than I've learned in the 4 months I've been here.
Director Sennett.
I tend to agree, and I'm anxious to see where our compass is going to go. But I think people are looking for something tangible that's going to produce something and give us a strategic plan. But more than that, you know, how we're going to achieve it. And I have some ideas, and I think we need to explore with the facilitator to see what those options might be. He has experience, and I think we've developed quite a few things, and I hate to see the fruit just, you know, die on the vine. So, you know, I'm anxious to kind of conclude this thing and actually get going and developing how we proceed and how we direct the process to develop a strategic plan and incorporating the resources of the district, and those being the employees, their ideas, and getting together with the needs of the district and actually developing policies and goals for the district. So I don't know, but if we don't try something, it won't go anywhere. And I hate to see it die, because we do need a strategic plan.
Director Cicina.
Did I just hear that the plan is to have the facilitator meet once more with us individually and then with the ad hoc committee, and then we have our roadmap?
Right. Then it comes back to the board. The committee brings back to the board.
That I'll agree with. Okay. Will that work for a motion? I mean, I don't see, we don't have a staff recommendation in front of us, but if that's the plan, I would agree with that. We're not going to spend more than $7,500 to have a facilitator meet with each of us one time, then the ad hoc committee to summarize all that, and then the ad hoc committee brings that back to the board.
It won't be anywhere near $7,500 to do that.
Right, right. That's what I'm thinking. It shouldn't take near that for that. Does that qualify as a motion?
If it does, I'll second it.
Attorney shaking his head.
Yes.
Director Sennett.
Yes.
Vice President Ohilski.
Yes.
Director Kelly.
Yes.
Director Sennett.
You already took my vote, yes.
Oh, I thought I said Cecilia.
I get two votes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
You cannot have my vote.
I'm going to vote no.
Director Cecilia.
Yes.
It's late.
Did you get the...
I think I got everybody.
President Sparks, okay.
Yes.
He said no,
yeah,
right?
Okay. He said no.
Okay.
I just, Mr. President, just make one comment. I had a member of the public come up to me and ask whether or not meeting individually with a facilitator would be in essence a serial meeting under the Brown Act and a violation. I just want to make it clear for the public and to the board that it is not. It can develop into a serial meeting if the facilitator starts the conversation of, well, Director Ohilski said this, this, and this, what do you think of that? And Director Sasania said this, this, and this, and what do you think of that? If it's an individual meeting where he's trying to get feedback from individual directors without parlaying a consensus through that meeting, it's not a violation of the Brown Act. And I might want to make one more comment on that. It's very common for facilitators to meet individually with board members. Nobody is plowing new ground with this type of scenario.
Okay, the next item is item C, the adoption of a resolution approving the final district budget, establishing the GAN appropriations limit, and setting reserves for fiscal year 2009 and 2010.
Before you is the district budget. The notice is prescribed by statute, has been given, and tonight is a public hearing on the budget. This budget has been reviewed by the three standing committees of the district on two different occasions. There have been two public hearings or public meetings concerning the budget here. And so tonight the recommendation is to adopt the resolution 2009-15, which is adopting the 2009-2010 final budget and establishing reserves, adopt resolution 2009-16, a resolution of the Board of Directors adopting the GAN appropriation limit, and adopting resolution 2009-17, a resolution of the Board of Directors establishing budget reserve policies. Also, the recommendation before the board, and I'd like this to be part of the motion if you would, is that any capital expenditures or proposed fundings of reserve accounts be postponed until such time as the state budget is in place. And the any implications to the district's finances are known.
That will go ahead and take public comment.
May the record show that it is now 9:40, 2 hours and 40 minutes since this meeting started. This is an item C should have been first on the agenda. You've kept your employees here in order to participate in this or to be available to answer questions that may come up. Our battalion chief is here. And by the way, this is of any posting. If one of you would have said at the beginning of the meeting, I move that item 5C be placed at the top of the agenda, despite the fact that apparently whoever set this agenda picked this disgusting time at which to discuss something which is of paramount importance to our community.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker, please.
Yes. Richard Margaretson. Since there were no handouts on the table, I've got to use the packet here, so this might be a little cumbersome. In the budget section, this sheet, under drainage, there's $20,000 for a pump replacement. That $20,000 still is not carried out to the final column.
Okay.
So the final column doesn't total up. The other thing is there's two additional documents in this packet, the employee breakdown and the overhead allocation. The overhead allocation in certain areas doesn't match the line items on the budget. And the employee distribution of cost is somewhat contradictory to what's in this final budget. And I'm going to go back to these are individual funds. Each individual fund is supposed to represent its function. The solid waste budget has one employee at $62,234, the entire salary in that subaccount. That's not representative of what that fund does and the amount of district employee time and benefits is required to take care of solid waste. And it's somewhat contradictory to what's in this employee breakdown sheet that states that $28,000 of that employee salary and benefits was recommended or whatever by AMPI as a administrative charge. Now, if you want to talk about strategic planning, maybe that's something for the future to be part of the strategic plan, that these funds are reflective in all areas of what they are doing. I'm going to leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker, please. Seeing none, we'll close it, bring it back to the board. Any director comments or questions for staff? Vice President Olhilsky.
I think, you know, we've discussed the budget a number of times. So, I mean, and I understand the issue about the allocation of overhead. But my question had to do with you talked about the three recommended actions, and then you wanted to add capital expenditure purchases be deferred until the state of the budget has been determined. Did you want to add the proposed funding of reserve accounts also? That's what I'm not clear about.
Yes. Until the state budget is determined, and what, if any, impact will be upon our budget, I'm recommending that any capital items, such as we have a pump in there, we have a command vehicle, things such as along those lines, be deferred. And also, since we have established there is a resolution in here which establishes our reserve policy, and it pretty well locks up our reserves under two auspices. The first is that it takes a four-fifths vote to take money out of reserves, and it also takes a finding. And so once you put that money in, it's
pretty difficult, and intentionally so, to remove it from the reserves. So I'm recommending that we postpone those expenditures until such time as we're sure that the money that's in the budget is actually going to be there if the state does anything to us. And I think council has something.
I was just going to comment. You have two types of reserves, and there's a couple of variations in your reserve, probably an excellent recommendation.
The problem, I know you know where I'm going to go with my question here, I think. The problem I have is the command vehicle that now is at risk. And is the $72,000 going into the fire?
The $72,000 for this year that ended Tuesday has been deposited.
Okay. So the only money...
So now we're looking at the next fiscal year.
So, but we're at risk for the $72,000 for 209.
Well, 20. Actually, as far okay, if we're dealing solely with the fire department,
that's all I'm asking
okay,
about
there,
right now.
Okay, there are two areas. The first thing that would be used to fund any deficit that was created by the state would be the concrete project. And that's a hundred and some thousand.
Oh, I understand. We discussed that at the committee, too.
And right? The second thing would be the vehicle. And the third thing, of course, then we're really in trouble because we have eliminated somewhere close to $160,000 out of our budget. But if we had to, then I guess we start looking, we have to start looking at funding our equipment, that $72,000. But I really don't think it'll get that deep. I mean, the first thing we got is we got the hundred and some thousand that we got for the concrete project.
Yeah, I guess I understand we're going to allocate the money. I mean, we're going to say that this money is budgeted, but we're not going to allocate it until we find out how much the state is taking from us. My concern is I know we have to have money for operations. I mean, I understand that, and reserves and capital expenditures aren't an operation, but as far as the fire department goes, I'm concerned that we start to get into a situation where we're not able to provide the services that we should be providing. As I understand it, the concrete project has been pushed back for a number of years. And, it's a tough budgetary decision to make. It's just I would hope that, and maybe this gets back to strategic planning, but, you know, I guess I'm upset that the state's going to take what we consider to be our money.
Can we make a comment on that?
Yes.
First of all, as we sit right here right now today, I'm not so sure the state is going to take any of our money. The governor's made it clear, at least he made it clear as up to about 2 weeks ago, that he thought that the Prop 1A raid was not a solution. The problem with 1A is it placed an 8% cap on the ability of the state to raid or to borrow against local agency property taxes. What the interpretation, as I understand it from the legislative analyst, is that there's wiggle room as to where that 8% comes from. In other words, the opinion is that the California legislature can say, we can take, in order to make up the total 8% pool that we can take overall, we can pick and choose what agencies or what type of functions that property taxes are funded in order to make up that 8%. So that's the hard thing. One is, in order to get a balanced resolution before a budget resolution before the legislature, are they even going to implement Prop 1A? If they are going to implement Prop 1A, are they going to allocate it differently amongst functions and districts and cities and counties? I mean, how are they going to do it? They may, for example, say, we're not going to touch, the only revenues we're going to touch are special district property tax revenues. I mean, that, I'm not saying it's going to happen that way, but that's just how much discretion that they have. So I think in theory, the money is going to be there. And if it's not in a reserve account and you want to spend it and you have it, you can always spend it on that item. It's just that it's not pigeonholed as a savings account. And what we're, I think what Mitch is kind of saying is don't fund these savings accounts until you're absolutely sure that you have the money to fund them, because sometimes if you were to fund something in, especially into a capital account, and it came out that you really didn't have the funding through the property tax allocations that came through, and you had the money in there and you needed to take it out in order to fund O&M, you're going to have a hard time making, you may have a hard time making the findings in order, and the 4/5 vote in order to get that money transferred. So
I think one additional positive thing is that it appears that, and we will be working on this as we close out the end of the year, but most of the budget units will have a positive cash position at the end of the year, which means we will have some money that we can roll over.
Joe, before I follow up, I'm as much...
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Speaking to CSDA, one of the things that CSDA, California Special Districts Association, the League of California Cities, and the County Association of Counties, or whatever, CSAC, all three of those organizations have banded together to... so that there is a uniform taking, if there is going to be a taking, between each one of the groups. So no individual, like special districts, wouldn't be addressed, or the cities wouldn't be addressed in a different manner than the other agencies, other like the counties or the special districts. Also, there is a strong feeling that there would be a differential for those agencies and services, which can raise fees, would have a greater amount taken from them than those that don't, such as fire districts and police protection districts would have a lower amount taken from them. Did that answer the...
It answered the question, and it's unfortunately an answer that I don't think I wanted to hear, but it is the answer. So, I mean, we're put in a box out of our not our own making here, and it's unfortunate. But. If there's no other comments, I'll begrudgingly make a motion to accept the staff recommendation along with the two additions.
Point of clarification on the deferring all capital expenditure purchases. Now, what about an emergency situation? Do you want the language amended? Do we need to even put a qualifier there except in the case of an emergency? Or
I think that's an excellent point. Sure, you can, okay.
I don't know, if something breaks and you got to spend something capital,
right.
You got to do it. So,
well, I mean, what we're looking at is, we have some pumps that need fixing, and, one of the replacements of put. I mean, it's not raining right now. So,
right.
I mean, and hopefully the state will figure this out way before it starts to rain. So,
I would ask the maker of the motion to amend the first condition at the end of it has been determined except in the case of an emergency.
That's fine. If I understand is that okay?
Yes.
That's in accordance with your recommendation.
Right. And basically, it depends upon what it is. If it's over $5,000, I got to come to you guys anyway.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, it's got to be on the agenda anyway. So.
So, yeah, if we need to add that, however you want to add it to the motion, that's fine with me. I know we're an entity of the state, but I'm not happy with it.
Yeah, so I'll second.
Vice President Ohilski?
Yes.
President Sparks?
Yes.
Director Kelly?
Yes.
Director Cesena?
Yes.
Director Sennett?
Yes.
Thank you.
And the last item is, it's not, we're next to last item. We have a discussion concerning support for the 25th Annual California Coastal Cleanup Day to be held Saturday, September 19th, 2009. I'd like to thank Director Cesena for bringing this to our attention. And discussed with our general manager a way of or the way the district could support this. So, Mitch, can you give an overview?
Well, in September, there is a beach cleanup day, and it was proposed that possibly we could participate, and we certainly can participate through the means of adopting a resolution in support or doing something like that. I was initially under the impression that most likely we could not participate monetarily, but I, again, was overridden by our district council. I've been overridden by him so many times I've lost total faith in him. that since we do have trash fund, or we used to call it trash someplace else, but okay, solid waste here, that and if it's dedicated to cleaning up in within the boundaries of our district, then we can contribute to or participate monetarily. And so if the beach that they're cleaning up is within the district boundaries, we're in good stead. As far as participating monetarily, we can also adopt a resolution.
The service that you're going to provide or the grants you're going to give needs to have a real strong nexus to cleanup or solid waste within the district. So I think, you know, I haven't seen the district boundaries, but I don't think they go out to the sand spit. But if you're talking about cleaning up on the interior bay, I would have no problems thinking that was clearly permissible. You know, if they're going to clean it up, we could say, you know, whatever funds you wanted, so long as the monies are used for the cleanup within the district boundaries and return the unused portion to us or something along those lines, I think.
I think the minimal amount that it took to officially be recognized in their program was $250, something like that, to be a C-Star. So maybe the first thing we need to do is verify where the cleanup would be within our district boundaries and then think about the amount. And so maybe we're not ready to really take action on this tonight. I'll follow up with the person who requested this of me and make sure that they have an area within our boundaries scheduled, and they may be adding something to their list of cleanup areas. And then we can think about the $250 at our next meeting.
I mean, I guess I'd be amenable now that if it does, that our staff looks at that, and if it does fall within our boundaries, that tonight we give them the go-ahead actually to
we
do
don't.
That.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. Director Kelly?
I don't think we know, because I know that they were going to take on a portion of the estuary, but I'm not sure where specifically. So, yeah, I think we need to find out from EcoSlow before we...
I think the director, Cesenia's opinion is best is that if he were to come back with an idea of exactly what they want to have done, and if it does fall within our jurisdiction, then because we certainly have enough time, and this is September, so it's not like we're running up against the deadline.
Director Zenit.
Yes, thank you. September just precedes the rainy season, and I think we can identify drainages that lead to the bay. So I think there's a clear nexus between just about anything that eventually drains into the bay and the cleanup. I don't think we'll have difficulty in finding areas.
Well, we would have difficulty taking out the drainage funds, because those are specific to certain areas.
No, this
areas.
Is solid waste.
Oh, okay, solid waste. Yeah, I mean, okay, yeah. Okay.
Well, then I'll follow up and report back at the next meeting.
That's good with me.
With the idea that this is going to be continued, people have public comment. I think it's on the agenda. Probably should take it.
We'll go ahead and take public comment. You could please come to the podium. Any takers? Oh, we have one.
I'll make this quick. You have a very prime area for cleanup. That's Cuesta by the Sea.
Cuesta Inlet.
Oh, Plastic Inlet. Beg your pardon. You're right.
That wasn't my correction.
But the question... But also...
Enjoy the couch tonight.
Marriage couch.
Cuesta Inlet. It is a very necessary cleanup area. It's used dramatically. You have no idea how many people use that area, and it can get a little sloppy around there.
I wonder if pampas grass is included in their cleanup.
They're gonna pick up boats and old boats and take them away. Okay. Any other public comment? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board and continue this to the next board meeting. Okay, with that, we'll go ahead to general public comment.
I actually have a couple of questions which I'd like to direct to council. First of all, it's my understanding that this body has bylaws. Is that correct? And is there anything in the bylaws which permits a member of the board to... question the pecking order of the agenda before the meeting starts?
Mr. President, if I might, there's one thing, Leon, that's really clear, is that public comment is directed towards the president. The president can direct me to respond, but I really can't carry on a conversation directly with.
All right. You've heard my question, or should I repeat it?
No, you don't need to repeat it.
Okay. Would you ask council to answer?
Could you finish your other comments and then we'll ask
it? You want
it
me to do all okay. Whether to hire a person and spend $7,500 could have been at the end of the calendar. Also, I would comment the money that you appropriated could have been used to continue what we used to have here. You'd come in and you'd have an agenda, and then the position papers as to each thing that's on the agenda was there. You could pick it up, or you could go by the CSD office earlier, and if you had something to say, you'd have some piece of paper you could hold in your hand. Instead of Richard demonstrated to you that we had two books up there, which would take care of maybe two people. Well, there's only one?
There's only one left.
Oh, somebody must have taken it home. There were two earlier. That's got to stop. If you can spend $7,500 on having this facilitator, you can continue allowing people to know what's going on here.
Thank you for your comment. Mr. Seitz, there was a question.
Any answers to my questions?
I was just asking Mr. Seitz.
I'm sorry?
I was just asking Mr. Seitz, Mr. Golden. I was just asking Mr. Seitz to answer the question.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Seitz, could you answer the question?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. I don't have a copy of the bylaws with me, but I do have a pretty good recollection of what's in them. And I believe that there's a section in there that says the president controls the meeting and sets the order of the in which the agenda is heard. Now, I'm paraphrasing there. So the first one is that the president can always rearrange the agenda as is presented. The second one is that an individual director, I think, can always make a motion or make a request to the president to move an item up and down the agenda without it being an action subject to the Brown Act. So the answer to your question is yes.
Thank you, Mr. Seitz. And that's occurred before. I know when Chuck was president. He had various requests to move items around. Next speaker, please.
Good evening, members of the board. My name is Aaron Oakes of Los Osos. Everyone should be heard when it comes to the county wastewater project, but I urge people to not be willingly ignorant by hastily pushing forward this process to move forward without looking at its most critical underlying issues. On Monday, at the first of 2-day Planning Commission meetings, Maria Kelly made some statements that were perplexing. Ms. Kelly questioned Dana Ripley's intentions and the incredible level of interest and information he offers in light of potential financial benefits he could gain, as well as interest, the impact on multifamily homes and businesses if his suggestions were considered. Ms. Kelly went on to say that there are other experts that may come with a different bias. In conclusion, Kelly spoke about how the PC has spent a great deal of time speaking to Ripley, who offers one opinion, one story, and one bias. Ms. Kelly, your campaign was supported by people who had one opinion, one story, one bias that heavily leaned toward conventional gravity collection. Clearly, you are in support of the county, which has held one opinion, one story, and one bias. You also overlook the fact that the county will also financially benefit from the design and construction of the gravity-based wastewater system through administrative fees that keep the lights on in public works. To criticize Ripley for seeking some sort of financial benefit is a moot point when the county would be reaping their financial benefits from this project. Everyone gets paid who works on this project. Finally, you talk about other experts that may provide some additional information that has different bias compared to Ripley. Well, who are they and where have they been all this time? If there were independent experts that had a significantly different viewpoint, they would have shown up sooner or later, but they haven't. So you don't have much of a case there. Finally, I question your intentions, Ms. Kelly. You seem to have a lot of these concerns about STEP-STEG when you said to Chair Sarah Christie in Ex Parte Communications that all the technologies presented were feasible. However, you expressed concerns about vacuum. And now you have concerns with Ripley. Why did you contradict yourself? So far, you haven't mentioned MWH in any of your speeches. MWH has been a part of district affairs and law associates for several years longer than Ripley has, and MWH has enjoyed financial benefits from law associates contracts that are in litigation. Yet you seem eager to pave the way for them and say nothing about who really benefits. A couple of weeks ago, Leon Golden said, "You can't serve two masters." But to this day, you can continue to serve one, the county. Start serving your community now. Thank you.
Thank you for
then. If public comment on the next regular board meeting is the last item of the night, then I would hope one of the other four directors would start the discussion, the open discussion on moving that. You all ran on, especially, you know, I mean, reflect a little on what day is coming up on Saturday. Are we now going to get away from public input, transparency, convenience, you know, the goal of making sure that the process is open to as many people as possible, not at 10:20 at night? You completely eliminate, you know, families with children, most families with children, parents being able to come down. I would hope that would happen in the future. I believe it's inappropriate. There aren't that many people that come for public comment, and especially at this time of night, I think you're going to maybe have three total. And I think it makes it very inconvenient, especially when you look at the agenda and you know that the meeting has to be carried forward with a vote at 10 o'clock if somebody's coming to make a public comment and gauge their time. They probably would have been here at 9:30 tonight hoping that it would start at some point. They have no idea when public comment's going to be now. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please. Seeing none, that's in the public comment. I will make one, again, and I've said this before on public comment. You know, as president, as I work with Mr. Cooney in establishing it, that, and I, you know, any suggestion that we don't value public comment, I don't agree with. And I think it's instructive that in our meeting tonight, you know, we had administrative committee reports and we had a very significant meeting at the county this week. And one of the first items addressed before families with children, all families in Los Osos, was an extensive report by Director Ohilski. And the you know, to suggest that public comment on items not on the agenda, associating it with the 4th of July is somehow detracts from that. We have public comment on all the action items we take, and the business of the district is those action items. We have transparency. We have public comment for all those items. The item at the end is public comment for items not on the agenda, and there's multiple mechanisms, not just these meetings. Our general manager's door is open. We want to, as we talked earlier with Mr. Cooney, want to increase and use director office hours. There's the public can contact. The district can write to the board. We get comments to the board. I know directors go out and seek opinions in the community as well. So this board is very concerned about public comment. We're very interested in receiving it in whatever form. Sometimes it's not directed and it's not pleasant to board members. But I have confidence in each of the board members, accessibility to the public, and listening to the public and doing what's in the best interest of the public. And with that, we'll go to director comments, but ahead, Director
Kelly. I'd like to respond. Yes, I did mention I was hoping that I've been researching recirc ordinances. Cambria has one. A couple other counties have one. I was hoping to have conservation in front of the Water Advisory Committee last month, but it doesn't look like we're going to be really hitting that head on until September, October, which at what point I would like to be able to bring a list of potential ordinances forward. I'm not sure if it's feasible. I did go back to the county a while back and noticed that they have added recirc to their Title 19 as far as part of their retrofit potential upon sale. People could choose. So that kind of takes a little bit. I mean, I appreciate that because I did make public comment on it at that time that I was hoping that they would include it. I'm not sure what impact that would have on us as making an ordinance. But anyway, to respond to Mr. Margetson's comments on that, and I have no response. I think that my actions for this district stand alone. I think I've worked very hard, and I don't think I need to say anything more about that.
Director Cicina.
Yes, with all due respect, President Sparks, I think if you have to go to such great length to defend a position, maybe we need to think about this again. It's been brought up several times. I think if we appreciate public comment, that we need to take it more seriously on the agenda, and for one reason, and that is that the public can then more or less know when to expect to be allowed to give the public comment. I think every other board or commission meeting that I've been to, they do non-agenda items right up front, allow some certainty for people to plan, and I will be requesting a future meeting.
Secondly, there's been an issue that's been bugging me since before I got on the board that I'm just going to vent on right now, and I understand that there's really nothing we can do about it, but I just want to raise public awareness of this. The median in Los Osos Valley Road in front of the Ralph Shopping Center is becoming an embarrassment to this community. I drive by there every morning on the way to work, and I'm going to start taking a different route just so I don't have to go by there. I know that Celebrate Los Osos is working on a plan and the renovation of that median, but I would hope that there's some way in the interim that we can at least get the grass whacked down so it doesn't look like it does. And I know there's issues with working in the right-of-way. There's issues working with public works. But if there's anything our staff can do at, you know, no expense to us, working with the county, or something that we can do to make that look like the community is alive, I would really appreciate it. You know, there's a show on the History Channel, so many years after people, where they show how the earth deteriorates after people leave. Well, they could do that show right on our median, I swear. Anyways, that's just a personal bug that I have, and I would like to see that thing addressed somehow.
Okay. Director Sammet.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I go by there every morning on my way to work, but I looked over when I was stopped, and I noticed there were snails there. And with that, I'll say goodnight.
Were you naming them?
I think we have a quick announcement here, Sandy. Go ahead. Do we?
Yes.
Oh, a response. Okay.
Is it on? President Sparks, I was just talking to my husband today, and I said, because we driven past it, I said, it's really starting to bother me. I'm going to ask Mitch Cooney if the whole staff is ready to volunteer and go out there and pull weeds just because it's so ugly. And he said, you probably wouldn't be insured for that. I said, well, why couldn't we cone off island on either side and all of us just pull weeds? I mean, we could do it in one day, but insurance-wise, I don't think we'd be covered to do that.
Quite frankly, I'm willing to
go out there. I totally agree with you. It's an embarrassment.
I mean, we can close a road for the Christmas parade. It would seem to me we can close a road long enough to weed a median.
I would think so.
I don't want to create an agenda.
It could be a coastal cleanup day.
BOCAC has been looking into this. They have a whole median committee, and they're working with Mr. Lee.
No, I understand they have a long-term plan.
And the problem probably is that the county needs to send out a crew to set up the lane closure to allow people out
there. And all I'm asking, if there's something we can do to facilitate it, I would
call Public Works.
I've tried that.
Really?
They're working on it as their answer.
Wow.
The request is on the list to send people out to go ahead and close it off and send Public Works staff in there to clean it out. But
right after they pave our roads.
Yeah, knowing the budget constraints, it sounds like it's going to take some time. But right now the plan is to get that replanted in November.
Okay, and one, before we...
Didn't know this.
Before we close down here, I want to talk about, right now we don't have a meeting planned on the 16th. We do have the meeting with LOCAC right now planned on the 30th. That's a joint meeting discuss the technical report from Cleith. It's tentative pending that. And also I've discussed with Vicki, I don't know if we'll have the roadmap for the strategic plan, but that is another potential subject for discussion as well. And while we're on the subject of Independence Day, and I'm going to go on a tangent here being a tennis player, tomorrow morning in the Battle of Andes, the American Andy will battle the British Andy, and I know it's been 78 years since there's a Brit that's won Wimbledon, but they can wait another year, and I hope Andy, American, wins.
Let's not forget the class photo.
Oh.
Or the NASCAR race on Saturday night.
Yes, sir.
Adjourned.